So give me a call, 0845 606 0973, and tell me whether you're supportive for the greatest show on earth. I think that our next guest probably is, but let's check. The Culture Secretary, Jeremy Hunt, is with me here in the studio. A very good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Thank you very much indeed for coming. The Olympics, is it worth all the hype?
Well, I think it's definitely going to be worth the hype. I mean, you talked about politicians having fun in the sun. I don't think actually that is a very good description of what politics is like. But I think the country is going to have fantastic fun in the sun or in the rain. I mean, we are one of the countries which actually knows how to have a good time, whatever the weather is. And London is the only city in the world that has hosted the Olympics three times. So we have experience and we're going to do it very, very well. And of course, there are last minute hitches and we've been sorting those out. But I think the most important thing for Londoners is this is going to be a summer like no other. If you've got young children, you're going to be able to want to say to them, you are part of this. And whether you've got tickets or not, we've got the giant video screens in Hyde Park, Victoria Park, along the South Bank. We've got all the cultural festivals happening. There's so much to enjoy and take part in. I think it's going to be an amazing summer, and I think we're all going to make the most of it.
What are you most looking forward to?
Well, I think probably the answer to that question is the first Team GB gold medal, because we really want our athletes to do well. And Christina,
I can't remember, cycling is quite early on, isn't it?
Road cycling is actually on the very first day of sport, the day after the opening ceremony, and Mark Cavendish is in with a chance then. But we've got lots of Olympic hopefuls. In fact, Team GB is in really good shape. And last night I was with all the Paralympians. And, you know, we come second in the world in terms of our Paralympic gold medals, which is an amazing achievement. Huge pressure on them. But also there is this sort of home nation advantage that seems to come through in every Olympics. And so getting a few gold medals under our belt, I think that will be when we can all heave a sigh of relief.
Fourth, were we in the medal table last time?
Yes, we came behind America, Russia and China. In fact, China got the most gold medals, but the Americans are the only country in the world which measure things differently. They actually don't measure the number of gold medals, they measure the total number of medals, which means that America always comes top on that particular measure. But in terms of gold medals, we came fourth. I think we'll do well to hold on to that, because obviously the world doesn't stand still, and the Aussies and all our other rivals are learning from what we did well in Beijing. And so it'll be tough to hold on to that, but obviously we'd love to if we can.
The French do well on the track as well, don't they? We are being incredibly ungrateful. A lot of our callers are saying today not to put David Beckham in the Team GB football team.
Well, I completely sympathise with that view, because no one has done more for, well, perhaps Lord Coe has done more for 2012, but I mean, David Beckham has been right there from the start, helping us win the bid in Singapore, and he's done a huge amount, and he's so committed. And the thing that I think everyone loves about David Beckham is what he puts back. You know, he's not only an amazing footballer, one of our most amazing footballers, but he puts so much back, as actually does Victoria Beckham, who's been out promoting Britain across the world. And I know we want to give him a big role, but I also know people wouldn't want politicians or anyone else to second guess Stuart Pearce, who's the England or the Team GB manager for these games, and he has to make his decisions based on sport and based on what he thinks will get us the best results.
And also the legacy of the games, though. Surely we could have found a place for David Beckham in the team. It's not as if he's a donkey, is it? He's still playing incredibly well first flight football over in the US.
Well, I completely understand that, but if I was picking the team, we definitely wouldn't win a medal. And I think that I'm afraid we do have to leave it to the sports bodies to make their decisions. But I want to do whatever we can to recognise David's role. And I know that Seb Coe has got one or two ideas and is absolutely determined to make sure that David has a very public role, because he has done so much. And he's just a huge national hero, and we're very lucky to have him.
What sort of ideas?
Ah, well, that's for Seb to... he hasn't discussed it with me, but I know we all feel a sense that we need to recognise what David has done for London 2012, because it's been absolutely huge.
Should he be allowed to light the Olympic flame, for example?
Well, you know, there's debates going on about who should do that, and that's decided by LOCOG, and I couldn't speculate. There are lots of people, incidentally, who would do that job absolutely brilliantly. But let's see what happens.
OK, just before I leave the Beckham thing, I know that you're a football fan. I've seen you at Wembley before now. If you were picking the team, would David Beckham have been in it?
Ah, that is a very, very difficult question. Because I'm looking at this. I mean, I would have obviously thought about it very carefully. But obviously, as culture secretary, I'm looking at the overall games. And, you know, it's fantastic to see someone like David Beckham playing. But I would want this to be a decision for Stuart Pearce, who's the boss.
Ah, you're giving me a politician's answer.
Well, just allow it on this one occasion.
OK, that's what they always say. What has frustrated you most about the lead-up to the games?
I suppose the most frustrating thing is that, you know, we had these issues with G4S, which we can talk about. But I think sometimes the headlines don't reflect the extraordinary success of this project. This is a fantastic success story. I mean, think about the British construction industry and the problems we had over Wembley, over the Dome, over Scottish Parliament. And here we are delivering the biggest construction project in Europe on time and within budget. You think about the extraordinary success of our athletes. You think about the amazing Olympic legacy. Countries all over the world are looking at the way Britain has delivered this Olympics as an absolute beacon. And I just think it's important that we get a sense of perspective that we're going to have last-minute problems. We'll sort them out. We always do. But this is something we can all be proud of. And by the way, this is not just a government achievement. People don't like Yabu politics, but actually this has been an example of the two parties or three parties working together. And Labour fired the starting gun when they won the Olympics, Tony Blair, 2005, and the coalition has carried the baton over the finishing line, and I think that's a something that we can also be proud of, you know, cross-party cooperation.
G4S, you've touched on. Should the boss stay or go? A lot of my contributors today have been saying, you know what, his position's untenable.
Well, I completely share people's frustration that this has happened, and you'll forgive me 12 days before the opening ceremony, if I don't get into a big blame game, because actually, you know, G4S haven't been able to deliver on their contract, but they are supplying thousands of guards. They have already supplied thousands of very highly trained, very well motivated, professional people, and we want them to do a good job. So I think we've got to have a proper post-mortem on what happened. G4S have actually been quite honourable. They've held their hand up. Ian Buckles, the chief executive, has said they got this wrong. He's apologised. He said he'll reimburse the government for all the additional costs that are caused by it. But I just don't think this is the time for pointing fingers. This is really a time when we need everyone to pull together, because it's a big, big operation.
So he should actually stay in his post until after the Olympics and then discuss it further then?
I think that's a matter for G4S. And I think I would also say that I think, you know, this is obviously going to be really thoroughly investigated, and we need to understand all the facts before we come to view on that. But that is something we need to do after the Olympics. I think right now is a time for, you know, all hands to the pump, making sure that everything gets pulled off smoothly.
But what about the fact that the Home Office apparently knew, or members of the Home Office, people within the Home Office, knew 10 months ago that G4S had problems with its guards?
Well, there was a report 10 months ago that said that there was a recruitment issue. But then there was a subsequent report by the same body in February that said that there was no problem and things were back on track. And the truth is, we were monitoring it as ministers all the way along.
And not very well, though.
Well, all the way along, the G4S management were telling us that everything was on track. But we thought we need to have contingency plans, because it might be that they don't deliver. And that's why we've always had the contingency plan of being able to use the armed forces. We hope not to have to use it, but we have. And I just think we're incredibly lucky to have brilliant armed forces who are there when we need them, as on so many other occasions.
So were you being lied to, or were they just being incompetent?
Well, I think that's one of the things that that we'll have to find out. But it seems like G4S management didn't actually understand some of the problems that were happening further down the pyramid. But I think we'll find this out in due course.
And how much responsibility needs to lie with the government as far as the problems with G4S is concerned?
Well, in the end, you know, the government and LOCOG are responsible for the safety and security of the games, and we take that incredibly seriously. And what I would say to anyone listening is that, you know, if you're thinking how safe are these games going to be, we now have 11,000 troops, some of our finest young men and women, who will be there to help make the games venues safe and secure. And there'll be very professional guards who are part of G4S and volunteers and people working for other organisations. And I think they can be confident that we really are doing everything we can to make these games a success. And that is our most important responsibility.